10 o'clock hour. So that happened last year, right?
That's how this all started.
I was trying to avoid that, but Jesse, being the great teammate that he is like, why you gotta go to me for on that?
I'm sorry, I forgot.
But you won't forget next year, but you probably will. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. All right, so I wanted to... I've gotten... I don't want to say a lot of feedback, because, you know, I'm not on the social channels as much as I used to be, but I've gotten a few notes and a couple of tweets and
I thought you were a
LinkedIn
Blue
message
guy
or two.
Aren't you on Blue Ski? And that's you're loving Blue Ski, is what I was told.
No, that's not true at all. I mean, I signed up for it. I've posted about 10, 11 times, but not really. No, I got no use for much of it. But I do have use for this question, and that is when we look back on last Thursday's game, and we talked about this a little bit, but we had a lot to get to on Friday after the game. Did Matt LaFleur allow his emotions to get the best of him? Watched an interview last night from one of the TV stations in Detroit with the knucklehead who confronted him
and was trash-talking. This sounds made up. WXYZ? That's like when you make something up and you're not creative.
XYZ PDQ. Did you ever say that to anybody when they're about to examine your zipper pretty darn quick? You left your zipper open? No.
Okay, never mind. XYZ PDQ? Pretty darn quick. Is it pretty darn quick? Is that what
stood for? I think so. Maybe not. Anyway, I watched that interview.
But I didn't watch Ghostbusters either.
That's true. But apparently, this guy had done this once before. Apparently, if you are a season ticket holder in Detroit, you get to pick one perk every year. And he chose this year to go hold the flag for the national anthem at a game. I don't know if it's included in free trash-talking opportunities to the opponent, but he said he did it once before, and everybody just sort of rolled their eyes. And he admitted that LaFleur didn't lose his you-know-what until he started doing the throat slash, which, as we know, the NFL outlawed players from doing.
Fineage. Yep, fineage.
So once he did that, that's when LaFleur went after him and started telling him to get the blank out of here. Turns out he never did. I got a kick out of this. Some of the people that were responding to this, because I had retweeted the video of him doing it, had said, how did he even do that? He was holding the flag. This is all made up. No, he got kicked out of holding the flag because he did it before the flag was even being held. And then on top of that, he got kicked out of the game. Yep. They booted him. Didn't even get to see the rest of the game. But you take that, you take the frustration challenge that had no business being challenged, right? I mean, if you're challenging things these days and it hasn't been, you didn't wait long enough for them to say after consultation with video, the call on the field has changed to incomplete pass or whatever else, you probably don't need to be challenging a lot of those instances, right? Because the sky judge unofficially will change them. You've obviously got him trying to go for the jugular on the first play like he had last year on Thanksgiving, even though you're going against a defense that was down most of its defensive linemen and linebackers, so you might want to give the ball to Josh Jacobs frequently and early. Do you think that in a big game he got a little bit over his skis?
No. It's a fine line of being emotional, and you want... So I hear this with Luke Fickell all the time. People are like, I just want to see him yell and get upset. No. So there's a line that you go up to. And as a coach, I want somebody that knows how to push the buttons of their team and each player's, and I want somebody smart and... looking into the future to understand the trends and to get ahead of them. Matt LaFleur has done that. Matt LaFleur's been a good coach. Was he? Did he get boxed out a little bit early in his career, I thought, with the Shanahan stuff? Absolutely. I think he now is very confident in who he is, and he is always pushing that line. Does he get overly emotional from time to time? Yes. But that's who he is. And I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you shouldn't go for the jugular in the first play. A lot of game. Well, you weren't saying that last year when they completed against Detroit up there. Or when they
no,
did that against Minnesota.
No, but that was a different game.
Well, they're all different games,
all right,
Jason.
Right, but my argument, Tausch, you understand what I'm arguing, right? I mean, because you argued it better than anyone.
It's one play.
About how, It is one play. I understand, but it also turns into a sack, which I know is playing the results, right? But it's right out of the chute, and you get a sack. But you're going up against a group that you feel like you can run the football on, right? You talked about it during the week. They're out of linebackers. They're out of defensive linemen. And Josh Jacobs has been your bell cow for weeks. You believe in him. And by the way, you end up feeding him later in the game, even though you only got, what, 45, 46 plays in the game. Like, I thought it right away was that I thought they were going to give him the ball. Like, let's put together one of those seven-minute drives and keep that explosive offense off the field. Run the ball. Use the clock. Get a lot of first quarter time of possession. And instead, punt, punt, fumble. And that's where both Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love argued they lost the game. Because they fell behind in a shootout and they didn't get points on those first three drives. That's all.
Yeah, but if it works, you wouldn't be saying that. You'd be saying, what a great move. And by the way, players get jacked up about that. You go through that on your Friday, which would have been their Wednesday or whatever. And players get jacked up when it's like, oh, shot play right out of the gates. Oh, we're going for it. We're putting everything in the bucket and letting it rip. So, yes. You have advantages, but you're not gonna pull a Belichick and run four. This isn't the 1998 Badgers where we're gonna run it 52 times. This is still the NFL, and you want to take some shots. They did. It didn't work. Okay, live to get the next play. Live to the next down. But to answer your question about Matt LaFleur, no. I think his game management. I think his usage of timeouts. He does still want and believe that every call should go his way, and he wants to challenge to get it that way. He has to have somebody telling him, Matt, stop. These timeouts are important. That's the one part of his game, and that is from an I think it does come from an emotional side. It doesn't come from a clear thinking side of his brain. So that would be the one thing that I would say Matt needs to kind of clean up. But as far as, if you have some dude down there slashing your throat and talking blank to you, the ideal thing would be to not let it bother you. But I'm going to tell you something. If that happened to Bill Parcells or somebody else, I got a hunch something's going to be said or done. Buddy Ryan. Just think, like, what if they did that to Ditka? I think Ditka would have done.
Punched him.
Lord knows what he would have done. Hit a 9-iron up to a green with guys sitting on the green. I know he'd do that.
What?
I told you that story.
Well, tell it again. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, there's a buddy of mine was golfing at his club down in Chicago. They're standing on the green, putting, lining up their putts. Ditka was behind him with his group. And all of a sudden, the ball starts flying in. They're like, oh, shoot, somebody hit a 3-wood. That happens occasionally. Or you're 260 yards out, and you nuke something that you never, oh, my God, and it rolls up. But Ditka doesn't wait. He just plays. He plays through regardless if people are on the green or not. He's not stopping. So he's hitting wedges into the green, and he comes up, and everybody has to get up out the way and let Ditka go through. That was, I don't know where Mike's at in his, where he's at in life.
His golf game right now.
It's probably still going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably cold. But that's the Mike Ditka story.
But you were not there. It was not you that almost got beamed by a 9-iron shot.
Because I don't even know what I would have done. I'm not sure what I would have done. I wouldn't have been happy.
What do you think you would have done?
I think
Mr.
I would
Ditka,
like to
sir?
Think at this point, I think I would have taken the ball and thrown it. Like that's
Mike, you
would have
taken Mike
happens.
Ditka's ball and chucked it.
So I would have been a guest of somebody's. So it would be different than if it was at my home track.
Okay.
I would not take lightly to some idiot hitting a wedge into the green that I'm standing on. No, I would not have taken that, like,
right. If it's
shucks.
Me, if it's me versus if it's Mike, first of all, given your expectation of my golf game, that's not going to happen, even with a wedge. But let's say
at some point you're going to get the ball on the green.
Okay, so it's me. You could chuck the ball. You could call me a Merry Prixmas. You could do whatever you want. But the bottom line is, if it's Mike Ditka, you're not chucking his ball. Come on.
Mike Ditka at 70-something? I said Mike
you're,
Ditka,
you're
going to
have reverence for a Pro Football Hall of Famer. You guys are a fraternity, former players.
Yeah, that's great. I do have reverence. I appreciate him building the game, and he obviously it was great for the city of Chicago. All that great stuff. What does that have to do when he's trying to hit a 9-iron off my face? That's no reference to me.
Well, he wasn't aiming for your face.
He wasn't not.
Well, I hope you were safely
insured.
No,
I'm not going to just sit there. I'm not going to. So if somebody drives the ball into me and I'm on the bottom of a hill and they couldn't see me, okay. But if I'm standing there and they hit it, I'll take the ball and fire it to the next fairway.
You wouldn't say. Absolutely. So you're not saying. You're saying that you wouldn't come up to him and say, Mike, come on, Mike. Like,
I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
He would passive aggressively throw the ball away.
You're not a passive aggressive guy.
You're right. It's not passive aggressive. It's just aggressive. Yeah,
there's nothing
right.
passive aggressive about that. So I don't know what the hell you're talking.
Oh, you're avoiding.
Would you throw it in the water? You throw it in the sand trap. Where do you throw?
No avoidance of interaction. No, I'd have no problem interacting.
Not only that, you're going to have to interact with them after you throw it.
Let's say Barack Obama or Trump or someone else hits it and there's Secret Service around and stuff, that's a different animal to me. That's different. Ditka out there on a Friday round at whatever the name of the course is? No. I'm sorry, Mike.
So anyone
who
does that.
You want to play ahead and it's your club. Now, if it's Michael Jordan,
great,
then do you
there
do
you
it?
Go. Uh-huh,
I don't
what?
Know. I'm interested. I want to have a
Jordan,
conversation
will,
with Jordan.
Will you sign my 30-year-old glass bottle of Gatorade that I carry everywhere I go in case I bump into you? It still has the Gatorade inside. Would you like to share a beverage with me while we find your ball?
So the real question here is, you brought up a great question. You want to have a story. What's the
yes.
better story, getting a picture and an autograph from the ball that you took from Michael Jordan? Or throwing the ball and telling Jordan to blank off, what the hell are you hitting into me for? But if you're playing with Jordan or there, you're going to be at one of his courses more than likely. He built his own course. And you probably are going to want to follow the rules. And one of the rules probably is Jordan gets to play ahead. So I don't know what the answer is on that. I'd probably be more reverent to Jordan than I would Ditka.
Next on Wilde and Tausch, which iconic pro sports athletes or coaches would you allow to hit into you on the green, and which ones would you chuck their ball?
What if Andy North hit into you at Trapper's Turn, because he helped design that one? What if he hit into you?
He would
you
never
there?
Do that. Andy's too classy. He would never do that. I don't have to even worry about that.
Have you ever hit into anybody?
Not on purpose. No, I would never hit a 9-iron onto a green. Now, I will complain, because there's... I am not a great golfer. I am a competent golfer.
Okay.
I cannot stand. If you want to completely ruin my day, take 52 practice swings and play a 7-hour round of golf. I want to move. I want to go. I want to get it done in three and a half hours. I'm not interested in, oh, well, Lenny's over here and he's behind. He's got to do this, this, and this. Just hit the ball, dude. I'm not playing with pros. Okay?
Sounds like the perfect way for me to ruin the Will He Break 200 outing that you have been so desperate to have.
That would be different because we're capturing this. That I would be
okay.
Because I would be commentating as we're doing it, which
of course
I think
you would. Sure.
If we voted, if we put a poll out in the field and we got over 1,000 votes and it was more than 75% that want this, would you do it?
We're not changing the subject. We're still discussing your hitting into...
You brought it up! I didn't change the subject. You did. FYI.
Didn't change the subject. Stayed on subject, just had a little quick aside. Speaking of asides, why don't you tell us a little bit about American Family Insurance while you're at it, and we can get back on track with our Packers conversation.
Packer fans, ready for some game day excitement? Well, next time you're at Lambeau, stop by the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse and experience the thrill of making a game-saving play with our interactive Protect the End Zone game. Plus, don't miss out on all the amazing giveaways from exclusive Packers merch to special prizes. There's a little something for everybody. Visit us at Title Town to make your game day unforgettable. For more info, check out amfam.com/Packers.
So I'm not the only one who's been getting some feedback. Jesse got a little bit of feedback about you and me. He's going to tell you what it is, and we're going to defend ourselves. Or maybe we won't. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I don't know who you've been talking to. Up North Joe, Tier 1 Tyler. But what are people telling you about Tausch and me?
There's been some feedback, whether it's been on the text line days after games that we share our positives and negatives. There's been some feedback in some people in my life who listen to the show on a regular basis that think...
Becca?
No, she doesn't really listen on a regular basis anymore like she once did.
Can't blame her for that.
You guys might be a little too positive in your outlook on the Green Bay Packers as Super Bowl contenders. That's the feedback that I've received.
What so are you, our homers?
A little bit,
because
yeah.
I've heard that a lot.
I mean, there was a text earlier in the show that said Tausch is becoming a little bit of a biased homer, and I don't know if I'd agree with that going that far. But
no,
I do think
that's definitely not true. But
downplaying the Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, that was
and
a mistake.
Finding
that was a misstep, not the Vikings.
Finding the silver lining, a loss to the Lions on Thursday night, and you guys saying that this is, you know, it reminds you of Atlanta in 2010, where we're going to get them if we play them again in the playoffs. I think others are viewing it as they've now lost a bunch of divisional games the last couple of years to teams in front of them and teams that they should beat, like Minnesota. And there's more pessimism from more of the Packers fans than there is optimism from people like you. So what would you say to that group of people?
I think it's a fair criticism. I don't have any problem. I am not going to sit here and tell you that I am a homer. I call it how I see it, and I think I have said defensively our pass rush has not been very good. And the Jeff Hafley without Xavier McKinney, I don't know how much different this group is in comparison to what we saw last year. That's what I've been saying. I thought Detroit was going to put up a lot of offense. They did. I thought Green Bay was going to put up a lot of offense. They did. So I think this is a good football team. I don't think they're a great football team as we sit here right now. But I've been around long enough and seen enough football to know that this group has gotten better. They're playing their best football. Even though you'd say, well, Detroit, would you say defensively they played their best football, not going to run into a lot of offenses like this. And there is a lot left to this season. Are they going to win a Super Bowl? I think if they have to go through Philly and Detroit, I don't think that's going to happen. But can they beat any team that's left on their schedule? Absolutely. This team, now with their special teams and their place kicking buttoned up, that phase of this team has gotten a lot better. This team has gotten a lot better. Jordan Love is at his healthiest. Josh Jacobs is still a bull. He's not showing any signs of wearing down. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. I could be wrong. But, I mean, could they go up to Minnesota and get beat? Bottom line is, they're going to have to do it the hard way. We've seen them have the easy path, and it didn't work. The last time this team has won a championship, it was the hard path. And do you think anybody in that locker room, and fans can feel the way they want to feel. I love it. I love it. But do you think anybody in that locker room thinks, boy, we can't compete with the Detroit Lions? No. You lost
by three points to a team, they just didn't compete with them.
And they lost, but they lost on a last-second field goal that they had to convert four fourth downs. So it's not as if I'm saying something ludicrous like, oh, my God, they can't. Oh, my, whoa, they can't. They can. Will they? I don't know. It's not as if I'm saying this about a 4-8. I'm not saying this about the Chicago Bears. And by the way, but, if you remember last year, when hold up and you can finish. When they were 2-5, I wasn't very optimistic.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
But they haven't been 2-5 this year. And if we look at their season schedule, and I think this is, you can only play who's on the schedule. I get it. You don't get to pick your opponents. Is it possible that they have perhaps benefited from playing two divisions that frankly aren't very good, right? The team that just beat the Buffalo Bills yesterday, that version of the Los Angeles Rams with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp healthy, different than the one that the Packers beat. Fair? The version of the 49ers that the 49ers can be when they have their guys versus when they don't, not the same. Fair? I think so. The Packers' wins this season are over Indianapolis, Tennessee, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Texans, the Jaguars, the Bears, the 49ers, and the Dolphins. I don't see a quote-unquote signature win on that 9-victory list. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not good. That doesn't mean that they're not a Super Bowl contender. I don't know the criticism that you heard, Jesse. I have been saying for quite a while that I thought they were 1 year away. I said it to start the season. So, do I think they're a playoff team? Obviously. We thought that from the jump. They have proven to be that. I picked them to go 12-5 or 11-6. They could go 13-4. They can win the last four games. I agree with Tausch. But do I think that they have what it takes to win out and then win three straight road games to get to New Orleans? I don't. I don't think that. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I don't think it would be miraculous, but it's unlikely, which is where I've been pretty much the whole time. Now, I will say this. They're in this position in part because when other teams have had to play their backup quarterbacks, those teams have lost. And in the Packers' case, Matt LaFleur and Malik Willis did a job that a lot of other coach backup quarterback combinations failed to do. And now, yes, they were all against those AFC South teams that I just mentioned. But they put together a game plan, and their quarterback made just enough plays and no mistakes, and they won the 2.5 games that Jordan Love wasn't on the field for, which is the difference between where they are now and where they could have been had that gone awry. But do I think that they are better than the Vikings today? No. We already had that discussion. Can I argue they're better than the Lions after they've lost to them twice? No. I don't care how much dysfunction there is in Philly. When I look at their roster, I think they are better than the Packers. I don't think that's a bold proclamation. So if they get hot and Jordan Love, who, by the way, has some pretty damn good numbers over the last five games or four games, if he gets hot, they can do this. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. But are you picking them to go to the Super Bowl as you sit here today? I'm not.
No.
That's what a homer would do.
Not right now, but I'm not going to say they can't do it. I'm certain there were plenty of people in 2010 saying that they couldn't do it, and they were wrong. So I believe it's one thing if you believe that the team is good enough. I do believe this team is good enough. Have they proven it? No. They have not found a way to get over the hump against Detroit. They got four losses, and they're all two teams that are ahead of them in the NFC. They've beaten everybody else. So right now they are a good football team that when you get to the playoffs, we all know anything can happen. The road less traveled. This is going to be a very difficult road. But I still believe they can win a championship. Yes. And that will probably not be proven to be correct. I'm not saying they will. I think right now Detroit is the heavy favorite. But I just watched a team go up to Detroit and have them right there when they played a really bad half of offense in the first half.
If they lose to Seattle on Sunday night, and if they lose to Minnesota, and they beat New Orleans, and they beat Chicago, and they finish 11-6, then I think we will have been proven, again, going into the playoffs, where anything can happen, that we were a smidge too optimistic. I do. If they lose on Sunday night, we're going to have to recalibrate. I don't care that it's on the road. I don't care. I don't think. Are they a better team than the Seattle Seahawks? I believe they are. I will be surprised if they go there and lose, and then I think we will have to take a longer look at how we viewed this team. I do. Will you join that club or not?
No.
This is so what exactly would it take for you to look at them and be less optimistic or less positive?
Playoffs. The playoffs. They're still a super young team that has dealt with some, you know, obviously quarterback. You just mentioned what they're able to do. This is about the playoffs, Jace. It's not about.
Right, but
hold up a second. We've done this whole thing under the Rodgers-Favre deal and had great regular seasons. And then we have not gotten the postseason success. That's what you're judged on. All of this other stuff is positioning. It doesn't. All of this other stuff is great and it's fun to follow, but the money's on the table. What did Aaron Rodgers used to always say? He played the regular season for money, and the postseason's about what your legacy is. That's what this team will. If this team is 11-6 or 12-5, nobody gives two rips. It's what did you do when you went to Tampa? What did you do when you had to go to Philly? That's what this comes down to. So all of this other stuff is great. And yes, you want to see him rolling and you want to see this, but it doesn't matter in the long run when it comes to what this team will be remembered for.
Right, but we're not talking. We have whatever evidence we have at the time is what we have of what the football team is. And if they lose to Detroit twice, Minnesota twice, Philly and Seattle, and finish 11-6, I'm sorry.
And go to the Super Bowl. Nobody cares about it.
Okay, so the 20. Come on, man. Why do we bother to do a show every day?
Because you have to get in the playoffs. You have to go through the process. And the process builds you to do certain things. I believe this team, even if they end up at 11-6 or 12-5, is good enough because they continue to get better. They're a much better team than they were in September and October. That's the beauty of an NFL season. And Jason, you're always telling me it's about the journey.
Go ahead and evaluate the journey while it's going on. You're basically saying that nothing they do matters. That's not what I'm saying. Yes. What happens in the playoffs? That's what you're saying.
Quick question.
It doesn't matter if they lose to Seattle. It doesn't matter if they lose to Minnesota.
If you were doing this show in 2010, you would have been, well, this team, it's just they're too beat up, and they're not going to win a championship. But nobody talks. What you talk about is what happened, the story, how it gets there. This team is right now, they're a good football team. They're not great. How do you become great? You win in the postseason. And, yes, the season does matter. The journey does matter because you have to get there, and you have to build to be able to position yourself to be great in the postseason. I do believe this team can do that. They have to prove it. And so all of the other stuff, what we've learned about the new NFL and what we're starting to learn about college football is the regular season is about building and growing and positioning. And then as playoffs have expanded, it's about winning and being at your best when your best is required. Whether or not this team will be there, that was not on Thursday. It might not be Sunday night. But in the grand scheme of things, and I don't want to poo-poo the regular season, but in reality, Packer football is based and judged on January and February. And Matt LaFleur's groups have fallen short. Period. Thin. That's what this is.
Is that
Jason.
The new thing? Is that what we're
like
doing
it.
Now? We're doing period Finn.
You don't have
your
to
new
like
thing?
It, but this is the reality of being a part of Packers media and Packers football.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Well, we'll get some of your texts on this. So then when they lose their first round playoff game, will you then say they weren't as good as I thought they were?
Yes.
Because if
yes.
The idea of saying that they can lose to Seattle and Minnesota and that's not going to change your opinion of them at all, I don't get it. I don't get it.
If they get trucked, yes, but if they lose a tight game up to Minnesota, and we end up at the sixth spot, but then we end up winning and get to the NFC Championship game? No.
Right.
Jason,
of course.
What you're saying is,
no,
what you're
right,
saying
no,
is,
stop.
Oh, I
we're,
did
no,
really
no, no,
well.
Stop. We're, no, because we're not arguing the same thing. We all agree that anything can happen in the playoffs. No, we're not. You're arguing anything can happen in the playoffs. That's just, I agree with you. Anything can happen in the playoffs. I agree. So you win. You're right. I'm wrong. But the point of the matter is there is nothing that will change your opinion of this team until they lose a playoff game.
No.
What the hell is that?
If they get trucked up and down and end up as a 7th seed and get beat in the first. But if they end up as a 7th seed and go beat. If they go beat Philadelphia in the first round, do I care what happened in the Seattle game?
No, I don't.
We
live in. Okay. I give up. What I'm going to tell you instead about is Racine. Danish Kringles, by the way, got some right here. It's the almond one. It's my favorite. The girls are not eligible. I am not eligible for Racine Danish Kringles. Jingle for your Kringle contest. I got to say, really delicious. Probably not a good idea to bite into it, though, while you're doing the read. Come on, Jesse, don't judge me. I need to make plenty of mistakes. But. Don't make the mistake of not entering the Jingle for Your Kringle contest at ESPNWisconsinContests.com. Here's all you got to do. You submit your own original jingle to celebrate the holidays and Racine Danish Kringle. Then we'll pick the most creative songs, and the grand prize winner will win Kringle for a year. The only requirement, you got to include Racine Danish Kringle. It's not just a treat. It's a tradition in your jingle. And if you don't want to sing, they still want to celebrate the holidays with Racine Danish Kringle. All you got to do is call 800-4-DANISH or visit Kringle.com and order their all-new eggnog holiday Kringle. That's in the freezer. We haven't opened that one up yet, but we will be for the holidays. Again, Racine Danish Kringle, it's not just a treat. It's a tradition. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
Tausch has his supporters among the dwellers.
You're a bad banana with a...
What are we? I know you don't. You get uncomfortable and all this other. I don't. I love it. With that little exchange, the point is, and you know I'm right on this. The question: it doesn't matter. Like the Packers, have they had a clunker yet this season? Because we always have a clunker. Jacksonville against the Saints a couple years ago. There's always one of those games. That was ugly. The Bears game was a clunker in my opinion, but we won it.
Does Detroit
have we had
count?
A clunker yet?
The home game against Detroit was kind of a clunker.
Yeah, maybe, but that would probably be it, right? But it's hard to say when you're playing the best team in football, which is the Detroit Lions right now. Minnesota, but we almost came back and won. Clunkers where you get beat by 25 and you're just like, hey, man, the blank just wasn't there today. Like, it happens to almost every team outside of Kansas City.
Could happen in
have
a
we
playoff
had a clunker?
Game.
It could. And then if it does, the criticism follows. Jason, you know that. Criticism follows anyways. But if they go up to Seattle this weekend and get smoked, I'm not going to be like, well, it's over.
No, and I'm not saying you should. I'm saying we need – all I'm saying is and I'm getting this now. I'm only looking at the negative what-ifs, and you're looking at the positives. Look, let me shout it for the folks in the cheap seats. All that matters is the playoffs. We all agree on that. But we use the regular season as commentators to figure out what they're capable of. And if you're going to sit here and tell me that people at the end of last season weren't giving them a chance in Dallas, get out of here.
House,
don't be a revisionist historian. Because they were the hottest team going. They had their clunker, right? They'd had a couple of clunkers in the last eight games at the Giants and against the Buccaneers. But they were the team just like, and this is the one thing that you said that kind of irritated me. Because if you go back into the archives, which you don't have access to, because you were still playing on the team at the time, the discussion on Green and Gold today was, this is the team you don't want any part of. And you want the Bears, going into the last game of the regular season, if you're the rest of the NFC, you want the Bears to keep the Packers out of the playoffs. Because they are not the team you want to see. That was the discussion. I remember it well. I want to get to... So maybe the Packers...
Question
which is what they
right
were
now.
Last year.
So, the question for you, and for people saying Johnny Optimistic, you really think Philadelphia and Detroit are thinking, we want Green Bay? If the Tauscher plan is in place and Detroit are the ones he gets to pick, you think they'd say, yep, Green Bay, come into town? I just don't think that's the case. So there's a lot of parallels. And the thing about Green Bay with their young teams, and this is a core principle of what I don't care what general manager you put in place, is you build through the draft and young players get better as the season goes, experience, et cetera, et cetera. And guys find their roles. That's what we do. And right. Now sometimes that doesn't pan out in the playoffs. I get that. It's been a while. But my boy Klumpster, I sent you this, Jesse. I don't know if you're able to choreograph that and put it up yet.
Format?
If you make the playoffs, I mean put it up on the little screen down here.
Yes, I understand.
If you make the playoffs, you have an opportunity. Don't see with this defense who can't pressure the quarterback winning three games on the road. Very fair point.
Right.
But unfortunately, we've seen this movie many times since 2011. That's Klumpster, my boy Klumpster, down in Naples. That's what he just sent me.
Right. And does that change your opinion at all? Because you haven't really...
It makes me think.
So
yes, I've been very clear that if you have to go against the big boys, the Detroits, and I'm not putting Minnesota there. I'm not. You guys
can. We know.
Philly and Detroit... It's too much of a gauntlet. But if they have to play Seattle and then Minnesota and then Detroit, that's doable to me.
Fleet Farm is your place to find big deals on big gifts for everyone on your shopping list. Shop deals on fun toys, power tools, clothing, grills, and so much more. And don't forget, you still have a little bit of time. Not much, but a little bit of time because Milwaukee Deal Days are still going on right now at Fleet Farm. Shop in-store to score huge savings on toolkits, combos, accessories, and more from the brand you know you can count on. Now, it ends December 11th. That is Wednesday, so that's the last day. So hurry in for your exclusive Milwaukee savings at Fleet Farm. And don't forget, too, ice fishing is almost here, and Fleet Farm is your place to find all the best gear from all the best brands. Shop their huge selection of augers for sale! Augers for sale!
There he goes again.
As well as tip-ups and thousands of lures that you don't find anywhere else. Check out all the best ice fishing gear and more at Fleet Farm. You might think the 10 o'clock hour was over, but you'd be wrong. More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Look, I just want to have productive conversations. That's my goal. Whether it's with you, whether it's with fans, whether it's with Jesse, whether it's on the different shows that I appear on. And here's my argument for that's great. Tausch is right. No, I never disagreed with Tausch on the idea that all that matters is what you do in the playoffs. And if it doesn't matter if you stumble into the playoffs and then you get hot, or if you go in on a hot streak and keep it going, all that matters is that you get it done. Here's the problem with my scenario that I brought up to you And that is, if you lose to the Lions, you lose to Seattle, you beat the Saints, you lose to the Vikings, and then you beat the Bears, you're 2-3 in your last five. You got beat by all playoff teams, because if you lose to Seattle, you're helping Seattle's chances of making the playoffs. And there's an argument to be made that the way you're playing, you're not the team that no one wants to play. And despite our revisionist history, I know for a fact on this show we talked about them being the team that no one wanted to play last season. And if they limp into the playoffs going 2-3 over their final five, I think we're only calling them that because we still are holding out hope that they can be the idealized team we think they're capable of.
Maybe.
And to that point, Packers Outsider, which I don't know if he has violated any sort of copyrights that Derek Blakesley might have had on Badgers Outsider.
Who's that?
But this is, don't pretend. Horror. Come on, we're not erasing people from our history. Come on, be nice. But Packers Outsider, maybe the question at hand is, why does it feel like at 9-4, we still don't really have a feel for what this team is and what it can be? And I think that is a great question to tackle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which will start after Tausch tells us about potatoes for sale, potatoes for sale at Quick Trip.
Well, there still are potatoes for sale, and you know how much I love Quick Trip and all the deals that come with every single visit. But when you got it's cold, you got all the holidays still coming up. 5-pound bag of russet potatoes is only 99 cents. You can make scalloped potatoes, baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, those little baby potatoes that you smash and you put a little Parmigiano on them. You got all kinds of options. I like it when you slice them up. Put them in a chowder. They're not better than a chowder when you come home, isn't it? And you know what? The perfect teammate for those russet potatoes. It's Monday. $5.99 roasted whole chickens. That can make you a great meal. Then you got chicken tenders or bone-in chicken on special on Wednesday for $9.99. Those succulent, hand-breaded jumbo tenders. Wait, there's more because there's always more. You got white bread, 99 cents a loaf, tortilla shells. Again, I'm telling you, you get that rotisserie chicken. Have a meal on Monday. You want to wait a couple days. Put it in a slather in a little enchilada sauce. Make those enchiladas. They got Don's Pizzas 4 for $10. It's a beautiful thing. It's simple. You can have take-home meals, take care of the payment. Just stop by, pick it all up, or you can get it brought out to you curbside. And, Jason, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for doing that, so I know you're done. The 10 o'clock hour is done, and the 11 o'clock hour, well, you'll listen to us next time in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.